May only His word be spoken and only His word heard. Amen. It can happen to you from our gospel lesson in Luke. Have you ever known someone who you never thought would become a Christian, become one? You know, that person who maybe mocked Christianity, maybe detested Christians, going to church, why are you doing that? And then all of a sudden, what? They're going to church, they know Christ. Maybe that someone is you. And how did it happen? How did it happen? Do you know that I call him a bizarre rock musician, Alice Cooper? How many know that Alice Cooper? Terrible makeup. At the height of his worldwide fame, his life was out of control. He was drinking a bottle of whiskey every day. Imagine that. And it was destroying his marriage to a woman he dearly loved, his wife Cheryl. They were married 25 years when it reached its peak. But Cheryl was going to church. And of course, she was inviting her husband to come with him. And one day he did. And he continued to go to church with his wife, Cheryl. He continued and he continued. And then the inevitable happened. It happened to him. He felt God was speaking to him. And Cooper had an amazing change in his life. Amazing. Now a believer, Cooper took the opportunity to speak to curious fellow musicians about this great change in his life. And this is what he said. He said, I've talked to some big stars about this and some really horrific characters, and you'd be surprised, he said. The ones that you would think are the farthest from Christ are the ones who are most apt to listen. You know, this has happened to others here more recently. Mark Wahlberg of TV fame, you know, he has a dramatic story of coming to Christ. And how many have heard of Kanye West, right, and his gospel album? I haven't heard it. You said you've heard it, right? And that's pretty amazing if you remember Kanye, right? It can happen to you. Jesus had come to that thriving city of Jericho, the city of palms, the city of trade, the city of commerce. And there was this man, Zacchaeus. And he was the chief tax collector. He wasn't a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. He managed and profited over many tax collectors. Tax collectors worked as representatives of the oppressive Roman government. They were allowed by the Romans to add a surcharge to the tax as high as they could get away with. Many tax collectors had the reputation for being greedy extortionists, traitors to their fellow Jewish people. You could say that they were the most hated people in the country. Because of their profession, they were barred from attending the local synagogue. They were simply despised. Now, without a doubt, Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, but he was also feared and probably more than others, chiefly despised. Now, there was an inscription found in a clay tablet in what is now Iraq. And this clay tablet and its inscription was probably written somewhere before 3500 BC. And it read like this: you can have a lord, you can have a king, but the man to be feared is the tax collector. So times haven't changed that much. Now, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see him, But being short in stature, he ran ahead the route that Jesus would take, and he climbed a sycamore tree. I don't think it's the same as our sycamores, but it was a tree. Right away, this tells us something very significant about Zacchaeus. For a man of his position to climb a tree to see Jesus bespeaks of a desperation. He risked humiliating himself to see this itinerant rabbi. So now let's focus on Jesus for a moment. We'll come back to Zacchaeus. From a worldly point of view, Jesus seems to be sabotaging his own ministry. I mean, he could have gone home with the chief rabbi or other, some top official, some celebrity. No, but he doesn't do that. What does he do? First of all, he acknowledges and asks to go home to the most despised man in all of Jericho. A traitor, a cheat, and the boss of cheaters, swindlers, extortionists. What in the world was Jesus doing? He was doing exactly what he was sent to do. His Father had sent him into the world to do what? To seek and save the lost. Let me ask you, do you think there has ever been a human being that Jesus couldn't love and forgive? I mean, this is an easy question. But this ought to still amaze us that he can take evil people and make them good and make them his disciples. There's a fascinating thing about this encounter with Zacchaeus. He called him by name. How did he know his name? Surely part of his divine powers, Jesus knows our names. We're not just a face in the crowd. He calls us by name. He wants to come to our home, wants to come into our hearts. Jesus is looking for you, don't you know it? You might not acknowledge this or even think about it, but he knows you. He knows your name. He wants you to believe in what he has done for you. Now, we're a lot like Zacchaeus. I know you might not think so, but follow me here. We are a lot like Zacchaeus. It's not obvious, perhaps, because we're not obvious sinners. We're not thieves. We're not adulterers. We're not blatant liars. Or maybe you are. And yet we know something is missing in our lives. Something is askew. We pretend, we hide our true selves. We may be a part of the group of which I've termed the half-converted. Half-converted. People who believe in Jesus, but also who maintain their own goodness apart from him. The half-converted are not desperate for grace. They don't think they need it, or at least not that much. They don't thirst for it. Oh, they do know they need it, but not like those others do. Not like those more obvious sinners. The half-converted see evil people and think, I'm surely not like one of them. I'm in a totally different category. If someone does something scandalous and is a church member, the half-converted are the ones who murmur about it the most. Because we're not like that. Jesus, in effect, says to Zacchaeus, I cannot talk to you when you're higher above me. Come down. Stop hiding. Stop pretending. Every single one of us needs to see how much we need the grace that Jesus has won for us. Because we are one of those poor, miserable sinners. If you blanch at this or dismiss the idea that you are a poor, miserable sinner, desperately needing Jesus' grace and mercy, then I would suggest to you that you're a half-converted Christian who needs to stop pretending. We do a good job of covering up what we really are, or what we've really done, what we really think. Jesus says, come down. Come down. Be real. Zacchaeus, encountering Jesus, then took stock of his life. And that's exactly what I'm asking you to do this morning. Take stock of your life. And you know, his conscience came alive. And he was in terror because of his sins. Because like any reasonable person, knew that someday there's going to be a final judgment. His contrition now was much more than just thinking about the punishment he deserved. It became about the people that he had hurt. He hurt others. We know this because he declared that he would make a fourfold restitution to all the people he had cheated, which went way beyond the law. And then he said, I'm giving half my income to the poor. Our sins are not private matters. Our sins always hurt people. And of course, they hurt the heart of God. Repenting, which God works in us, is acknowledging our sins and a desire for them to be forgiven. A desire for grace. Repentance is a way of life, recognizing our continual need for forgiveness. No, it's yes, yes, yes. I thought I had that timed right in my sermon. Now, let me say, if you genuinely have faith in Jesus Christ, it's going to transform you inwardly then to the outward life. You were that angry person who could fly off the handle at the slightest provocation. No more. You were that lust-prone person who thought of trying to have sex with anyone and everyone you could. No more. You were that money-obsessed person who took every opportunity to enrich yourself no matter who you took advantage of. No more. And I could go on and on and on. I could go through the Ten Commandments and beyond. No more. You've had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. Corrie ten Boom wrote this, when a light is turned on in the dark, it's obvious. If a corpse were to rise from the coffin and live again, there would be no need to hang a sign around their neck to tell the world there has been a change. When the doors of a penitentiary swing open and the prisoner walks to freedom, it's immediately apparent. So it is when a man or woman or child genuinely encounters Jesus. There's going to be a difference. It transforms their life. Everyone would know that Zacchaeus was a new man. Everyone. Jesus knows your name. You're not a face in the crowd to him. He knows what you need, that you need him. He is calling you to be, calling you to have what he has given the world, his grace and his mercy. He is calling you to be who you were always meant to be, a child of God. It happened to Zacchaeus. It can happen to you. In Jesus' name, to his glory. Amen. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always.